Hello and welcome to Sounds Right, a new improvised comedy show where two guests will be making up scenes and games on the spot based on audience suggestions. Sounds Right takes an alternative look at the things that matter to Lush and those of us who lead a Lush life.
I'm Luke Sorba. My guest Ruth Bratt is with me. We're going to pull out these pieces of paper that people have filled in earlier with words that relate somehow to Lush life. We don't know what they are. As soon as we read them out, we'll improvise something around them, a little game, a little little performance piece, completely made up on the spot. So let's start with the first word. Controversy. Or is it pronounced
controversy?
There's the first controversy.
So we're arguing already. So let's.
What is it? Controversy.
I'm going to say controversy.
I will join you in controversy.
Okay. And the reason we're going to share how we pronounce this is we're going to play an expert here to talk about controversy. We're one character played by two actors, so we'll take it in turns to say the words that our expert will make up. So, controversy
is
the
most
valuable
thing
you
can
put
into
a
demonstration
of
life.
I
have
argued
vociferously
with
many
of
my
friends
and
neighbours.
They
are
controversial
but
friendly.
I
love
to
create
controversy.
It's
valuable
in
lunch times
and
dinner times,
but
never
breakfast times,
which is
the
best
time
of
day
to
not
be
controversial.
Holidays
are
boring
unless
there
is
a
controversial
issue
explored
through
mime.
I'm
miming
something
now.
Next
week
I'll
be
talking
about
agreement,
which
is
also
controversial.
If
you
agree
with
someone,
then
you
are
being
wrong.
That's
the
controversial
news.
So,
good night
and
eat
well.
Yeah,
there you go. Who knew?
That was thought-provoking.
Yeah, I think we managed to avoid any controversy.
Did you? I hope not. But it is through disagreement that we discover new things, isn't it?
Yes. No,
just
it's
agreed
not.
With
I
me.
Did. That's because I'm an improviser. I can't help it.
Yeah, we do. We are taught to agree.
Say yes.
With each other, say yes to each other. So it's difficult for us to be controversial.
This is
that's related.
Yeah.
Protest. Ooh. Right. So we're going to go to America. We've got a couple of commentators who are going to commentate live on a protest.
Oh.
And
yes.
Let's find out what they have to say. But can you tell me, this is a protest in favour of something? And I thought, rather than take something from the real world, some of the very serious protests going on around, we'd take something a bit trivial, a bit silly, that people are protesting about, like those orange curtains, or, yes.
Wearing socks in bed.
So we're going to commentate on a protest by the non-sock wearers of the nighttime world. It's a bit pompous, isn't it?
It is. So what they've got, the NSWNTW.
The NSWNTW.
Yeah.
Which you can just about fit on a sock. if you want to. If you're wearing one in the daytime.
Well, it's nighttime, Louis, and the protesters have arrived in their pyjamas, and not a single one is wearing anything on their feet.
That's right. Why would they when they're here to protest against wearing things on their feet?
But they are wearing gloves and hats as if to highlight the absence of any kind of warming outerwear on their toes.
That's right, because as we know, you lose 80% of your body heat through your head, not through your feet.
Exactly. And that's why we are today recommending to couples, if you want the magic in the bedroom, wear a hat, not socks.
That's right. Everyone knows that socks are a real killer of eroticism.
Just hearing you say the word eroticism while being barefoot was enough to make me want to take a nap.
That's right, and that was the effect I was going for. Unfortunately, down in the street where they are protesting right now, we can see that some people do have some blisters.
That's right. Blisters, bunions, corns, and verrucas are an unintended consequence of sockless life. And yet, I would consider these things to be, act against the libido.
Well, that's right, but they also remind you that you are alive, and what is more erotic than life?
That's right. Without my painful, warty feet, I would mistake myself for being dead, asleep, or a machine.
That's right, because as we know, machines do not get warts.
No, and they don't wear socks. And we need to be reminded the difference between AI and the human person.
That's right, the difference between AI and I.
And what does AI stand for, Louis?
AI, that's right. AI stands for artificial intelligence, and I stands for me.
That's right. So this protest isn't just about wearing socks in bed. Oh, by the way, there's a splinter group that believes it's okay to wear socks in bed under a duvet, but not under a sheet that's tucked in under the mattress.
That's right, because as we all know, a sheet that is tucked in under the mattress is an aberration and should not be allowed. We all go to a hotel and immediately untuck.
That's right. And this splinter group, ironically called a splinter group, which is a byproduct of not wearing socks. You get splinters on uncarpeted floors.
You do, but not in bed, because if you have wood in your bed, you're something different.
That's right. You're probably an object lying on a table like a coaster or a jug, and not a sleeping person.
That's right, and everybody knows that coasters don't wear socks.
So, I think we've pretty much covered all bases.
I think we have.
I'm going to lie down and take off my shoes.
That's right.
There's no definitive answer to that question, but I think we presented both sides of the...
I'm going to say don't wear socks in bed.
Really?
Yeah.
But I do want to ask you a question. Is that because you might be sharing with someone who doesn't want the socks? Or are you saying, even on your own, that is a choice one simply should not make?
I'm going to say that if I had my druthers, I'd never wear socks. Ever. Ever.
Even out of bed?
Even out of bed. I don't wear socks unless I have to. And by have to, I mean, if I'm leaving the house and putting on a pair of shoes that will rub if
but
I don't.
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
Do you leave the house?
And then I put on my shoes.
Then you put on your shoes.
Yeah. I keep all of my shoes outside because of, dirt.
I think a person who sleeps alone should be allowed to wear socks.
If they want to wear socks, that's fine. I think socks are restrictive. I think they're the biggest evil. If we got rid of socks, what about that lovely freedom when
they're
your feet
confined.
Can spread out, your toes spread
Maybe
out.
Maybe the compromise is to have socks that has individual compartments for your toes.
You can get those.
Do they have a
do they have
a name?
Aren't they called aren't they called like barefoot?
Toe socks.
You can get shoes like it as well.
No, we're not talking about shoes.
Barefoot
wearing shoes in bed is clearly out of order. The next word I've pulled out is home.
Aww.
Home. So why don't we base our next improvisation at home?
At home.
At home. And this is a little excerpt from today's afternoon theatre on the radio. So let's find out whose home we're going to visit. So a name for this couple that Ruth and I will be playing. They are the...
Norbert Steins.
Okay. Norbert Steins. And it's just home, and it's just afternoon theatre. So there's a little controversy.
Ooh.
But it has to be something minor, because during the afternoon, you can't sort of scare the slightly somnolent radio public with anything too, you know...
The middle class too can't egregious. Cope in the afternoon.
You can't cope. It'll be something like, you know, you didn't water the pot plant. Which is in itself, you know, quite disturbing. So Mr. Norbert Stein is going to confess he's done something to upset Mrs. Norbert Stein. What's he done?
Bought the wrong sugar.
He's bought the wrong sugar. Tea, darling?
I'd love a cup of tea, darling.
Well, I've made you some. It's, Assam.
Ooh, you paused for quite a long time there. That makes me think it's not Assam. You haven't bought Lapsang Souchong again, have you?
Well, you've almost got me there. The fact is, I must confess, I brought the right tea, but the wrong sugar.
Harold.
Martha.
How could you? You know I'm very particular about my sugar.
And you know I panic when you say my first name
Harold.
To me.
Harold!
No!
Which one did you buy? Don't tell me Demerara or it's over.
Just drink the tea.
No, I won't drink it. Are you trying to poison me? Do you want me dead? Have you got a younger woman waiting behind the scenes?
I'm just pouring the sugar down the waste disposal unit in our brand new fitted kitchen. Oh, I love modern appliances.
Don't try and change the subject, Harold. This is just like you. You don't think, do you? You never think. Oh, God, why did I marry you? Just because Mother told me to?
Yes. Well, if you do remember...
I do remember.
You do remember your mother?
I do. I'm remembering my mother right now.
Well, so am I.
Hello, Harold. Would you like a nice cup of tea before you marry my daughter?
I promise to keep your daughter in Assam tea and golden caster sugar for the rest of our happy lives.
Make sure you do, because no woman wants any other sugar than golden caster sugar, no matter what the advertisements tell you.
I understand that's why you're alone now.
Yes, I killed my first, second and third husbands for bringing back the wrong kind of sugar. They're all underneath the sofa.
I did find it particularly lumpy, but I didn't want to draw attention to it.
I wasn't expecting to confess that. But I have. Don't tell me daughter. Don't tell Martha. She's never been a very curious child, so she's never asked what the lumps were.
No.
And I would have just told her, sugar.
And after that, we got on swimmingly, myself and your mother-in-law.
My mother-in-law? Your mother-in-law? My mother killed all of her husbands, and I never knew well.
Well, you never knew that your mother-in-law is also my mother-in-law. We have the same mother. Yes.
Oh, good Lord, Harold. This is... Thank goodness we've never had sex.
No.
Afraid, Harold, after all these revelations and the Demerara sugar, I'm afraid you're going to have to die.
You're not going to kill me and put me under the sofa like all the others.
No, I'm not going to kill you, Harold. You're just going to do the decent thing and die.
Well, we're all going to die, darling.
Yes, but you're
Men
going
mortal...
to do it sooner
oh, am I?
Rather than later.
Right, can I finish my
Don't
cup of tea?
Don't make a fuss, Harold. Just do the right thing for once in your life, Harold. Do the right thing, the decent thing, the good thing, the golden caster sugar thing.
I'm going to the shed. I may not be back for some time.
What's this in the cupboard? Golden caster sugar. You and me will always be together. Bleaker than I thought it was going to be.
Well, it may be bleak, but I like to think it's educational. So listen,
everyone out there who's in a relationship, if you look after the little things like the sugar, hopefully you won't need to the big things like the incest, the murder, the complete lack of any physical side to the relationship. So let's move on. Enough autobiographical stuff. Moods. Moods is the next.
Moods.
Acknowledging that we go through different moods as people. We can't always be happy, jolly, fluffy bunnies. And earlier we were a bit bleak as well.
We were, totally by mistake.
So I'm going to interview a character from history and I'm going to find out a little bit about their emotional, you know, their emotional life and the moods that they've felt. So would you like to give us a period in time where my guest is from? And we'll take it from there. So I mentioned 1066, it could be someone from way back then, it could be someone from the 1950s. Okay.
106 AD.
106, pause, AD. Because the changes between 106 BC and AD were just sight. You wouldn't recognise Stonehenge before and after. It's like Shoreditch. Unrecognisable in 200 years.
Well, Shoreditch 200 years ago would probably be quite different than Shoreditch now.
Yes.
Wouldn't it?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know.
I imagine it a bit grubbier.
but less expensive. Yeah. 106. I happen to have with me a legendary character from 106 AD. You may recognise her from the blue woad on her face and her Celtic ginger locks. She's, of course, Queen of the Iceni, Boudicca.
Hello, that's right, it's me, Boudicca.
That's right. Because the Celts, the Britons, spoke very estuarine English.
Too right we did. Yeah. Where else? I live near an estuary. What else would I speak?
Where exactly in Essex are you from,
just the estuary.
Oh, the estuary.
Yeah.
Or as it was known, Estuarinium, as it was known.
Only by the Romans.
The Romans.
Not by me. I'm not a bleeding Roman.
No. In fact, tell me how the
Romans... I hate the Romans.
Well, I was going to ask you, how did they made you feel? What mood were you in before the Romans arrived? What were you doing? How did you feel?
I was perfectly placid.
Yeah.
We had a really nice time.
What were you doing?
Barbecues, a little bit of tilling of the soil, working the land.
Any
a little bit of ritual sacrifice, you know, you've got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah.
You know,
please the gods.
Yeah. How else are we going to keep going if we don't kill a couple of virgins every now and then? You know, otherwise the gods ain't going to give us good harvest.
And today you can't find two virgins in Essex, so
yeah, that's because of the bleeding Romans. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So then the Romans turned up.
Oh,
how
I
did
hate
that
the
make
Romans.
You feel?
Oh,
they
furious.
Turned up when you were having a few.
Proper angry.
Some hoppy beer
mead.
Or mead.
I was having some mead.
And what happened?
Yeah. Oh, they come over. They're like, give us your mead. And I went, no.
But they don't talk like that, do they?
No, they're all like pluribus movibus.
Pluribus movibus beerus.
Give us your beerus. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just paraphrasing, you know.
Clearly.
For you.
Well, but your mood wasn't always, because I understand you fell in love with a centurion.
So. No, I didn't fall in love with him. It was lust. It was lust that I felt for him.
Celtic lust.
Yeah, proper Celtic lust.
And what did he teach you, being originally from Italy, with a very different culture in terms of...
He taught me about tomatoes and indoor plumbing.
The Romans brought...
Plumbing.
Both to Essex.
Yeah, both to Essex.
Yeah,
they brought
yeah.
Anything
tomatoes,
else? Indoor plumbing.
What about fashion? Because Italians are snappy dressers.
Oh, well, yeah, but they all wear skirts, don't they? All the men. Oh, they're all wearing little toga tunic things,
togas
don't they?
And tunics.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like something, you know, with a... underneath.
a gusset.
A gusset, if you will.
Because
I was going to go...
The fens can get quite chilly, can't they?
Yeah, it's cold in Essex.
So how do you feel when you've got like your... Do you wear a onesie in winter? What's like a Celtic onesie? What's that look like?
It's a wolf. I wear a wolf.
Get inside a wolf. Like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, I love that. Oh, so warm, isn't it, inside a wolf?
How does that make you feel emotionally inside?
Oh, cosy and happy. Yeah, yeah. And like it's going back to the womb, isn't it?
A wolf womb.
Interestingly, the two originators of Rome, Romulus and Remus, raised by wolves.
Well, there you go. There's connections even in the most unlikely places.
They are. Because ultimately you made your peace with the Romans, or did they execute you?
They executed me. Yeah, they very much killed all of my people and then executed me. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they very much killed me.
Looking back, though,
which was infuriating, you know.
Being killed?
Yeah. Ah, I was raging.
So how did you feel in the afterlife?
Oh, well then, you know, once you're in the afterlife, it all just washes away, doesn't it? And you go, ah, this is all right. And because I'd, you know, sacrificed so many virgins, I'm right up there with the gods, you know.
And who else is up there with you? Which other ancient personages would you maybe have a little coffee morning with?
Ethelred the Unready.
Yeah.
Who was late. King Arthur, who doesn't exist. Jesus, obviously, because we're AD, so Jesus.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been there.
Wouldn't have been there BC because that
you'd
was
have
before.
Had Elijah.
Him. Yeah, Jerophat.
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 Jeroboam.
Yeah.
Magnum.
But you know, I'm only getting the words wrong because I don't read. Because you know, I'm an Iceni.
Well, that's why I was asking you about your moods because I'm interested not in what you read and how you reason, but how you feel. So, you tell how you've made me feel, nostalgic.
Oh, yeah.
Nostalgic.
Yeah. What for? The good old days.
The good old days.
Yeah. Good old days of, of a bit of a ritual sacrifice and pillage.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a bit of pillaging.
Boudicca.
Yeah.
Finally, Justin Bieber or Neil Young.
Well, I mean, that really depends on the mood you're in, you know.
Exactly.
Doesn't it? I mean, you know, exactly. I'd go for Neil Young if I was feeling a bit, I want something to, you know, make me feel a bit better and make me remember harvest time. And then if I just wanted something to make me feel, well, probably old, I'd listen to Justin Bieber and go, oh, I'm old.
I can recommend a new thing, Grime.
Oh, great. Yeah. I'll listen to that.
Yeah. Thank you, Boudicca.
Thank you. Boudicca from? She was somewhere like...
I think it was around East Anglia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I know she was Queen of the Iceni, but if you said put Iceni on the map, I'd have no idea.
No.
I have no idea. Did they have maps in... They didn't even have maps back then.
Oh,
They just pointed at places and went over there.
The Romans had maps, didn't they?
Well, the Romans did, but not, you know, not the Britons. We were...
A bit backward.
Well, yeah, I don't like to use that word, but we were. So, cats and rabbits. Yeah, cats and rabbits. So I think we'll finish on something. Pets are a very important part of British culture.
Yeah.
Not always shared around the world, but certainly people's relationship with pets is quite important. So I've got a pet and I've brought it around for you to look at.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. And during this dialogue, either of the improvisers, while we're sort of talking about our cat or a rabbit, we don't know what it is yet, we'll ask you. If any stage I say to Ruth, no you didn't, Ruth's got to change what she's just said to me into something else. And if I said, I beg your pardon, then whatever Ruth said, she's got to do another version of it that rhymes with the previous version. And if I say, that's nothing, I'm going to kind of top what she said. So while we're talking about pets, we're going to throw in these little phrases and see if we can sort of trip each other up. See if we will.
We will.
So what's my lovely little pet I brought around to my... A miniature pony.
Aww.
All right. Sylvia. I'm just, look, close your eyes.
Okay.
Your eyes.
Right, come
in.
Closed.
Come in. Ready?
Oh, I think I can guess what that is.
I've got a new friend.
Oh, Steve, it's a tiny pony.
It's a miniature pony.
Oh, sorry, a miniature pony. Oh.
What do you think?
I think it's one of the sweetest things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, ever since I split up, you know, I've felt a bit alone. I thought I've got to think of a name. Think of a name for him. What could we call him?
Reg.
I beg your pardon?
Veg. Veg, because that's what they eat.
Yeah, they're great. He's a vegan.
Of course he is. He's a horse.
He's a miniature pony, not a horse.
I beg your pardon?
He's not going to be called Tony, and he's from Scandinavia. He's Norse.
Oh. Oh,
yeah, he talks a bit like this. I'm from Sweden.
No, he doesn't.
no, he doesn't.
I've projected a voice onto him because...
You're lonely, aren't you?
He doesn't speak.
No, of course he doesn't. He's a horse.
Yeah, he's having a carrot, right? He's having a carrot.
That's nothing. Before you got here, I ate a whole pound of potatoes by myself.
That's nothing. I woke up with the munchies in the middle of the night and ate a pillow. I didn't have any food.
That's nothing. I've eaten 5 cakes already today and there's still another one in the fridge.
I beg your pardon?
There's a midge. Midge, that bloody pony's brought the midges in with it.
I know, he's full of parasites. I'm gonna have to get him dewormed. Do you know a good vet?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think this pony's a good pet?
Well, apparently so. Look at him, he's very happy chewing on the carpet.
He's eating the carpet. I think I need to exercise him, so I think we'll go to the park.
No, you won't.
No, I'm going to stay indoors. I'm bone lazy. I thought we'd just watch a bit of Dave Channel together.
Oh, have they got a good sense of humour, ponies?
I don't know. I don't. That's why I watch Dave Channel.
That's nothing. I watch nothing but Channel 5.
That's nothing. I don't have a television. I imagine television programmes. Shut my eyes. And I can even hear and see the adverts in the breaks.
What does the pony do?
Beg your pardon?
Has that pony done a poo?
Of course he has. They don't use loos. He's an animal. You've got to respect him for what he is, not try and change him. You see, that's what you always do. You meet someone and you want to change them, like you wanted to change me.
No, I didn't.
Like... I can't remember what I meant to say.
Yes, that's you did. Nothing. I don't know who you are or why you're in my house.
Oh, blimey, sorry. I thought you were someone else.
Oh, okay, bye.
Bye. I've got quite attached to that imaginary. Actually, imagine. I was actually feeling, I didn't want to hurt the little, like little imaginary pony's feelings by saying anything too mean about them, so I got a bit blocked as a result. We should have a thought for the day. Let's sign off with a word at a time thought for the day.
Okay.
If
you've
been
bad,
you
shouldn't
own
up.
If you've been bad, you shouldn't own up. Carrying the guilt is not as bad as getting punished. That's the end of today's edition of Sounds Right. Thank you very much for your suggestions. And thank you, Ruth Bratt, my special guest. We'll be back with another, hope, equally entertaining podcast next month. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to hear more from Lush, and our ever-growing archive containing interviews, debates, comedy and stories with a wide range of charities, organisations and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple.